Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, on Friday night, I was lucky enough to be the first audience in Australia to witness the Eras World Tour, Taylor Swift's incredible show.
You and 92,000 other people.
96.
Okay.
It was 96 on Friday. And Taylor herself was super overwhelmed by this because just to set like a bit of a precedent.
Because so many people across Geelong, Surf Coast, Bellarine would have gone to Taylor over the last couple of days.
And, you know, she's done big shows before in the past, but this was the biggest crowd that she's ever played to.
Three nights in a row.
Yeah, and she was very overwhelmed by it. Tim, if you could play that little grab of audio, the biggest show.
The biggest show.
Because this, she actually addressed it with the audience on Friday night.
Let's have a listen.
Melbourne, welcome to the Eras Tour. I have to be honest with you about something. If I seem a little bit like I am losing my mind over the fact that there are 96,000 people here tonight, it's because it's true. This is the biggest show that we have done on this tour or any tour I have ever done.
Literally the biggest show that she's ever done in her career. And a few times throughout the night, Tim, the crowd was screaming so loudly. At one point, there's a video footage of her sitting at her piano and she thought there was something wrong with her
inner ears.
And she's yelling at the ground crew being like, turn it up, like it's too loud. What's going on? And they just pointed to the fans and the fans were screaming so loudly, she couldn't hear her inner ears.
Because from what I understand, because she's been doing this Eras World Tour all across the world, would you believe? The shows, like, they're so well rehearsed and, like, there's like it's seamless the way it happens. So
there's different sections. And because everyone had seen the movie, a lot of people knew was coming.
Because I was going to say, like, if you went last night, for example, like, you probably got a very similar experience to what Jess got on the Friday night.
Yeah.
How was it? Like, I know you caught the train in and getting out.
It was very easy getting in, getting out. Not so much, because getting in, it was very staggered. Lots of people arrived early, so there was a lot of it was not as congested on the way in, but on the way out, you know, 96,000 people plus 30,000 outside the stadium, all trying to leave at the same time, was very chaotic. Actually, physically being there though, I can't tell you. The only thing I can describe it.
And you're not even a full blown Swiftie.
By the end of the night.
You've got a mild rash of Taylor Swift normally, but now you're in full.
A girl three rows behind me. She knew the words to every single song. She was screaming it out, belting out. I turned around. I'm like, who hurt this poor woman?
Right.
And I looked behind me. It was like an 8-year-old. She was just having the best night of her whole life. And that was so many people in the room had been to Taylor before, but then there were so many new Swifties that have only come on recently in the last few years, which are myself being one of them. And it was a show that catered to both fans, you know, like the new fans and the old fans, because it really did go through her whole catalog.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible experience. There is something that she announced, Tim, that diehard Swiftie fans will understand, because she does two acoustic songs every show.
Oh, cool.
And she has been notorious for, she said at the start of her Eras tour, these songs will be different at every show. So if you're coming to a few different shows, I'm going to perform a song that hasn't been played before at those shows. Last night, apparently, she announced, I'm going to repeat some of the songs. I don't care if I do a repeat, so you don't have to worry if I've already played a song that you liked. I could be doing it.
Sure.
The other thing that's different every night is that one of her dancers sings part of the lyrics to We're Never Getting Back Together. And you know how usually in the song it goes, she says, like ever.
Like ever.
Well, she changes it for each show.
Yeah.
And being in Australia, they gave it a bit of an Australian flair.
This is exhausting, you know, like we're never getting back together.
Like, no.
Like, no, darling.
Which I thought was great because, like, in Tokyo, she said it in Japanese, like ever in Japanese, and people just lose their minds. So it's really cool to see her giving a bit of an Australian flair while she's here as well.
I mean, it could be 5 to 10 years until we see Taylor Swift in Australia again.
Well, she did mention on the night that she, you know, the last time she came out was for the Reputation Tour, which was 2018. So it's been a while since we've seen her. And you're right, Tim. I don't know when the next time we will get to say Taylor Swift is.
I think tomorrow we need to open up a helpline for people that need to talk about it, but now they don't have it to look forward to. So maybe we can offer that space. But if you went to Taylor Swift over the last couple of days, hope you had a ball. And don't worry, people still talk about her.
Yeah.
That's just how the way the world works.
This is Tim and Jess.
Jess, sometimes miracles, they just appear out of nowhere, don't they? This is a very specific circumstance that's happened here at the K-Rock radio station.
All of us have been laughing about it nonstop all day.
Because if this was me, I'd never show my face.
I would be mortified.
It's a very specific thing to happen. Yep. And Tom Lingy and Loggy mentioned this on the breakfast show this morning. But our digital guy, his name's Adam. We like to call him Chappy. Happy Chappy. He's always got the happiest outlook.
If you ever see anything on our K-Rock socials, usually Chappy's got his dirty little mitts all over it.
I was lucky enough that I received, because this is a gift for me.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and you've received something like this, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I received this gift at 3 a.m. this morning when I was trying to put my son back to sleep. I got to witness you experiencing this gift, which was lovely. So at 10:52 p.m. last night, an email comes through to all the announcers here at K-Rock from Chappy the Digital Guy.
Bit of a behind the scenes. Every Monday, the whole K-Rock crew, we have a nice little weekly meeting. What's coming up for the week?
Just to catch up.
Let's all, discuss what we're going to be doing. So usually it's a big team meeting.
So I got an email from Chappy. Morning. I've tried my luck with the trains this morning, but it turns out I've got none. So I'm heading home. I'll see you later in the meeting when I dial in. But this was sent on Sunday night at 10 to 11 p.m. And what my...
Can you just repeat what it said?
At, I've tried my luck with the trains this morning.
Yep.
But it turns out I've got none, so I'm heading home. And as soon as I read it, I knew exactly what it was.
Oh, God.
Poor Chappy meant to schedule this to play... to be sent out to everyone in the morning.
Yep.
So it was like, oh, he tried to come to work, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But he couldn't come.
I'm at the train station right now.
I'm just heading
home. I've had no luck. See you in the meeting.
Unfortunately, instead of hitting schedule, he hit send. And at about 11 p.m. last night, everyone found out that Chappy was not planning to come into work today whatsoever.
Not at all. Never. He never had any intention. In fact, he was probably asleep when everyone received the message.
And because he's not here, because of those bloody trains,
Those trains,
he's just got no luck with the trains. I couldn't even really press him for it.
Oh,
but what he definitely didn't mean to send that message, right?
No. No way.
No. I love stories like this. 52232955. Did you send a message that you really weren't meant to? Maybe it was like to an ex. Maybe it was to like a colleague, a boss, kind of like what Chappy's done, because our boss was included in that as well. Maybe it was to somebody like a family member and you've just said the wrong thing and unsend didn't exist at that time.
Well, yeah, there's no way he could have unsent this email.
No.
And I cannot stress enough, Chappy is never going to live this down.
Like No.
This will forever be what he is known for at this office.
This is kind of like how Meatloaf had a great musical career before the AFL Grand Final in 2009.
That's so
he had one sore throat.
Yeah.
And now that's what everyone, they're like, I remember Meatloaf at the AFL Grand Final.
Don't worry, the show will be better than Meatloaf.
Yeah. And now Chappy is the new Meatloaf. And again, he pre-sent an email that he wasn't going to come into work because because of the Werribee line being down, but it was never there.
I feel like we've all had this moment where you've hit send and gone, oh God, what did I do that for?
Because now with new features, it's you can kind of, if you catch yourself, you can erase that, right?
Yeah.
But this wasn't one of those circumstances. 52232955. Tell us about the message that you absolutely didn't mean to send. Kelly from St. Albans Park, you sent an email to a group of people you didn't mean to?
I did. It was embarrassing.
Was it what you said or who you sent it to?
Yeah, it was who I sent it to.
Okay.
Yes. Right. So I had an end-of-year exam at university and I had a similar thing, the train situation. There was like an accident and I couldn't get on the train. There was a delay. And so I've gone and emailed an authority person who I thought, I just found an old email that had been sent out. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. I'll email them. And then I got a message from my friend saying, hey, You've emailed the entire uni.
Oh, no. Is that a thing?
You could have the option to do that?
Well, it was like just a generic email that they have sent that was the whole uni's email, like so all of us students got it.
God.
But I've accidentally just copied the wrong one and said, "Hi, I was wondering if you could help me. I've missed the train to the whole uni."
How many replies did you get, Cal?
It was a small enough uni, so it wasn't overly traumatizing, but I got quite a few replies.
Oh my God. The
first few, I replied saying, "Hi, sorry, obviously this was a mistake." And then I just gave up. I was like, "Fine, you could know me as this person. I accept it."
Yep, I'm train girl. Fair enough. And that's what you'll live on forever. Hello, this is K-Rock. Who's this and where are you calling from?
This is Toby.
Toby, did you send something that you absolutely didn't mean to send?
Absolutely.
What did you do, Toby? You sound traumatised, mate.
Well, I had my missus sitting on my knee at one point at a party. Yeah, back in the day and out, you know, like an outside party.
So she's sitting there, like, chatting amongst friends?
Virtually, and I sent my mate a message saying, "I'm done. I'm going to break up with her tonight." I sent it straight to her.
Toby, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I mean, at least she was close by to like have a quick chat, I guess.
Did she see it straight away, Toby?
Well, I sent it to her. She was sitting on my knee.
Oh, my.
And she.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
What did she say?
No, she turned around and slapped me like as any woman would.
There's bad luck and then there's just...
Oh, my God.
Toby, you are...
That's unfortunate, Toby.
Toby, we weren't playing a game, but...
You win.
You win. You won. Game over.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Three massive nights at the MCG up the highway, Jess, with fans. 288,000 people seeing Taylor Swift.
And more to come, Tim, with the Sydney shows this weekend coming. Someone that is, I'm going to say, probably Australia's biggest Taylor Swift fan.
The envy of a lot of people who missed out on tickets. Now, you've happened upon this person, Jess, through a friend of a friend of a friend.
I discovered a young lady named Ruby, Tim, who managed to score herself tickets to not one, not two, but every single show that Taylor Swift is doing while she's down under.
So not just Melbourne, but Sydney as well.
Seven shows. I've got her on the show right now. Ruby, how the hell did you pull this off, mate?
look, it was a very stressful week back in June, July. I think I tallied it up and I spent 13 hours in front of that Ticket Tech loading screen, but I got there in the end.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So was the intention always to go to every show? Like, what was the plan?
Yeah, so literally, like, years ago, after the Reputation tour, I was like, okay, next time she's here, I'm going to all of them. Because last time I went just to Melbourne and Sydney. So this time I was like, no, I'm going. I'm getting them. And I just didn't accept that I wouldn't go to all of them.
Because so many people missed out on getting a single ticket.
Because Ruby, like, without going into too much detail, you are either the most envied person in Australia right now or potentially one of the most hated.
What was your game plan? Like, how did you manage to snag a ticket to every single show?
I was really very, very lucky in that when the Amex pre-sale came out with those really expensive VIP tickets, two very kind people lent me their Amex cards, so I was able to get three in that sale. And then on the Wednesday and the Friday, I only needed to get a ticket for each, like, one show, like for one Sydney, one Melbourne, and then again the next 2 days
so,
later.
Yeah. So you've been to all three Melbourne shows now, and I'm assuming they were all incredible. Like, your seats looked pretty good. You were on the floor for one of the nights?
I was on the floor for two, but honestly, I'm more excited for Sydney because I went around and, like, mapped my seats at the Melbourne show. One of them is definitely front row at the end of the catwalk, and I'm pretty sure another one is, like, on the edge of the stage as well. So I'm going to, like, pass away.
Ruby. Now, Ruby, what I think is fascinating as well is you don't live in Melbourne. You live in regional Victoria, so you had to get accommodation for the nights in the city.
Yeah.
Obviously, the three concerts. Now you're heading up to Sydney as well.
So seven shows all up, accommodation, flights / driving.
I'm going to cut straight to it. How much money did you spend on Taylor Swift tickets?
On tickets alone.
Oh, God, it must be a lot, Rubes.
Well, I panic bought some of the, like, top-tier, most expensive VIP tickets. So all up, it was $6,610 just on tickets alone.
$6,600. Okay, and then now with flights and accommodation and everything else, where are we at?
Oh, I stopped counting.
Yeah,
oh,
it's probably for the best.
It's probably close to 10, probably.
Wow.
But okay, do you regret any of it? Like, I know you're only halfway through, this is what it was all about.
No. And Ruby, there's another cool detail that you were telling me off the air. You have got a new outfit for each night as well. You're not wearing the same thing.
No way.
No way.
Tell us about the outfits. Yeah. What outfits have you got prepared?
Well, I'm very lucky in that one of my aunties is a really good seamstress. So she's made me her 2016 Grammys outfit to wear to one of my front row shows in Sydney. So like the beautiful pink satin skirt.
Oh, my God.
And then another front row outfit. I've made her really iconic Midnight's romper with the stars all across it from 2022. Sorry, that took me like a week to bedazzle. But, yeah,
wow.
So that's another outfit. Yeah.
So, Ruby, one final question before we let you go, because we've seen some commentary, like on the Brekkie show here at K-Rock, as well as some other people online. People are saying that people that have bought multiple shows that are going to go and experience it multiple times, they've been described as they're a flog for essentially taking away an opportunity for someone who's not going to see it at all. What would you say to people who are upset with people seeing multiple shows of Taylor Swift?
I actually have been posed this question a lot of times, and I have a solid answer in that. One, I've been a fan for years. I paid a lot of money, the more people were willing to pay. And also, I spent hours and hours getting upwards of 25 tickets for other people who missed out. So I think I've got my good karma.
Okay. Wow. So you got tickets for other people too. See, Ruby, I think you've done it.
Yeah,
you've nailed it.
Ruby, we might hold on to your details for any time anyone comes in, because you're the ticket queen. Ruby, we appreciate you being so candid and honest with us with all those questions. Very personal. Enjoy the next four shows or whatever you're going to.
Have the best time in Sydney. I hope you get the 22 hat, Ruby.
Me too.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Jess, I think I've spoken before about life's about opportunities, right?
Absolutely.
And when they come to you, what happens in that moment? Do you take it? Or as Eminem once famously rapped, do you let it slip? You know?
Yep.
How do you think you go when opportunities come your way?
I panic.
Right. Panic.
You know I don't love change. As soon as there's change afoot, right, I stress, and then all of a sudden it starts feeling good, and then more change comes.
Something happened yesterday morning when I was on a walk with my six-month-old son, Jack, and I tell you what, to have my son around when this opportunity was presented to me, mm-hmm, it was a lot, because, you know, before I had a son, it was just me that I was worried about, like when these things would happen.
Right.
And you go, all right, I'm judged on my actions, right?
Okay.
As a human being, that's what I'm judged on.
But now you've got to be a role model for this little child.
This six-month-old who one day grow up to be an adult, you know? So I've got to set the tone. On my walk yesterday, I was walking behind a footy oval in Armstrong Creek. There's a mum on the oval with her son, 8 years old.
Did you chuck your C's up? Creakers for life.
Creakers, yep.
Yep.
Obviously, because we're all in the Armstrong Creek gang, the Creakers. And after I put my C down, I put it in my pocket. What happened was when I was walking past is her son had a football.
Oh.
And he was having a shot at goal. Went through, kicked a goal, went over the fence.
Amazing.
They're not on my side of the fence. And I go, well, I'll be helpful. I'll go get that football.
Nice.
So I put the pram in a safe spot.
Yep.
I get the football.
Stay there, Jack. Dad's coming back for you.
Watch this.
Got to relive the glory days.
And the mum's like, oh, thank you so much. And I was going to handball it to her. And then I thought,
nah, drop punt.
Well, I was like, can I kick it to your son? She was like, yeah, of course. And then I realized what I'd signed myself up for.
Oh, no.
So as someone who played football for most of their life, like not at a good level.
I never saw you take a kick. I've seen a few of your games.
All right, thank you very much. Unnecessary. And I realized that I know there's just an 8-year-old child, a complete stranger 8-year-old child, who I've been given permission from his mum that I can kick the football back to him. But for some reason, the pressure to get this football directly to this child.
Yeah. At that moment, you were on the MCG.
Yeah.
In full Essendon kit.
Yeah.
The kid
It's kicking a goal after the siren to win the grand final.
He was waiting for it.
And this is all happening, you know. It's opportunities, right? Opportunities. I've talked about how I don't know if I want to go back to playing football after stopping a couple of years ago. Or do I just accept that it's not for me anymore?
Your six-month-old Jack hasn't started speaking yet, but all of a sudden starts chanting, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad."
But it felt like the whole stadium. And so I go, you've just got to go for it. And again, this is happening in moments. And if you're listening and you've had these things where you go, I need to impress a random child, it comes on fast. And, you know, I've got the still got the action.
Yep.
Just never left, you know. It's the body knows what to do. Then you go, sure. It's muscle memory, girl. Here we go. Let's get into this. I was built for this, right? Drop punt.
Yeah.
Straight to the little boy.
Wow.
And he marked it.
The crowd goes wild.
And the kid marked it, which I was like, at his age, I would have never been able to do something like that. Still now, I cannot mark a football. If you ask me, you're like, all right, do that, you know, 200 million Powerball. If you like, just catch a football. Someone's going to kick a footy in the air and you have to mark it. I'd be like, all right, well, I wouldn't start spending the money. And he marked it and his mum's cheering him. But I'm hearing them for me.
Of course.
Yeah, and it's made me, I'm at that crossroad again and I keep coming. Do I, you know, I've still got it. Do I?
Do I? I would argue you never had it.
Do I lean into that crowd reaction of 100% strike rate, of hitting the targets and getting a cheer from the crowd? Do I get back into footy this year?
Go for it, mate. I'll always support you.
You just said
pull the boots out.
You just said you'd never see me take a kick, so. Don't let those opportunities pass you by. It's the targets you hit, not the ones you miss.
This is Tim and Jess.
Yesterday, my fiance Akshay was like, hey, we've got those flotation tank vouchers we still haven't used from your birthday.
They were gifted to you.
You know, it's been a little bit stressful in the lead up to the wedding. Why don't we go and have a nice float and, you know, have a relaxation?
Now, I was saying to you, because you said you went and had a bit of a float, and if you've ever done one, because I feel like...
Have you ever done one?
Well, this is what I'm going back and forth with. I thought you and I had floated, not in the same pod, but I feel like we went for a float together through work many years ago.
Oh, I don't remember it. But if we did, I don't remember it.
I feel like, because my memory's so bad, so this is why I have no idea. But if you've ever experienced it... I don't know if I have, though. It's a very peaceful experience.
Well, it's supposed to be. Essentially, the flotation tank. It's
supposed to be.
The flotation tank. Imagine just like this pod, okay? So you climb in through the middle. It's like a giant bean. For context, I'm, 5 foot three?
It's like you're reading it from the website. Yeah. Come and jump into our giant bean. Jess is about, 5 foot four.
If I stretched my arms all the way up, and my legs all the way out, I could just touch each end.
Right.
So that's how big this pot is.
Yeah.
And essentially, you climb in, you turn off the light, you shut the pod lid.
Yep. And you float.
And you float. It's 360 kilograms of Epsom salt.
Whoa.
Yeah. So you literally, it's hard to push yourself down. You are literally floating on top of the water.
What was that experience like?
You put your earplugs in.
Right.
So that there's no salt water getting in your ears.
That makes sense.
You lay back. I closed the lid. It is pitch black, completely silent. And I was alone with my thoughts for an hour.
This is what I was worried about. And I was curious to how long it went for.
I got so bored, Tim.
You can't even relax properly.
I've never been so bored in my life. My fiance Akshay was like, that was amazing. I feel so relaxed. I feel so rejuvenated. Like, I feel like I, really was able to think and be alone with my thoughts. And I said, wow, you know what would have made it better? Just a screen on top of the pod.
You are what's wrong with where the world's
heading. I could watch Netflix while I floated in the pod, that would be relaxing for me. Right. But sitting there alone with my thought, I kept looking for a clock. There's no clock in there. I couldn't even look for a time. Like, how long has this thing got left?
So it was a great birthday gift by the sounds of it.
Eventually I got relaxed. It took me so long to unwind.
Well,
I must be so wound up.
Well, for a bit of context, because some people might be like you, like when you're brushing your teeth or having a shower or whatever, there's always a screen. Like, you bring your phone in, there'll be a screen.
Absolutely. Gilmore Girls is playing. The Office is playing. I've put Friends on.
Like, do you ever just walk down the street without headphones on?
Never.
What's like when you, because I know it's always funny, like, no offense, can we just get straight into something right now?
Go on.
You're always like, I don't want to be alone with my thoughts. What is in your head, girl?
I just, you don't understand. Like, I have so much going on up here. It was just like stuff was coming out of me in that pod that I haven't thought about for years. For years, Tim. It was like I was alone with my thoughts, literally no stimulation. There was nothing in there.
Are you just in like your bathers or something?
You're completely in the nud.
Oh, that's sick.
The nude.
I want to go.
You're in a little, like, you're in like a little capsule. So you walk in, there's a shower in the pod. So you have a shower first and then you strip off.
That's incredible.
And have a shower and then you get in the pod completely nude. So there's nothing.
Nude.
In the nude.
That changes the game. That's
what,
like,
do you mean?
Sign me up.
And so all I could think about was my butt is sliding back and forth in this pod right now. How many other butts
are sliding? Why are you sliding around?
I couldn't sit still. I was literally like, I was like floating back and forth.
Can I just say, like, I know you'll hate me for bringing this up, but as a new parent, I hate you for not enjoying that. How dare you not enjoy that?
What do you mean?
An hour in silence. I read books about that. In fantasy novels, you read about these things called an hour of complete silence.
I feel like I need to do it again because it took...
No, you don't. You didn't appreciate it. Give someone else a go. Maybe me, but give someone else a go.
It took me like half an hour to really wind down. And finally, by the time I started to relax and actually enjoy it, then they put the light on and they're like, it's time to get out.
Remember how we said... Everyone was like, you don't complain about going to Taylor Swift. Don't complain about getting gifted a beautiful float where you get an hour of peace and quiet. It's the same. It's the same equation. Same solution.
Anyway, you should try it. In the nude.
Well, that's what's... I'm going to tell you what. That's what...
Game changer.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.